A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Lord. So today is the 9th of June 2022, Thursday class. We will be continuing our sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page 289. Just relax body and mind and maintain some form of attention. And we will off the light so that you can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation training. Okay. Just relax body and mind. Completely relax and silent everything. When you're silent means internally and verbally silent. Means no chattering, no internal dialogue, or whatever mental activity, completely relaxed and silent. Then maintain awareness throughout for as long as you can. And this is to enable the cultivator or the so-called meditator to develop awareness within the moment you are actively creating thought process or verbalizing or chattering within, then you are no longer in the state of silent inner awareness. To be in the state of silent inner awareness, you need to be completely without thought, without any verbalization or chattering of mind. Means no thinking, no labeling, no activity. But initially, if you are not trained, it's not easy. For most people, they are not able to maintain an orderly awareness during their daily life in the midst of living or when you are awake after you have slept or rested. After you wake up, your day activity will start. And most people, if they don't have the ability to maintain mindfulness throughout the day, they will lead a heedless life. They will think a lot. Their mental activity is very active. So, if you live life that way, it means you are not really developing the meditative mind to live life. So, we call this heedless living. Heedless living means your life is in a state of disorder. There is no order within because you lack mindfulness, you lack awareness. You cannot see the reality. You cannot be aware of many things. Most of the time, you are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life, which means you create a lot of thinking, mental activity. And all this arises because you lack the spiritual faculties, the five main spiritual faculties, which is Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. And because this five is lacking or not stable, not developed, then the opposite five, which the Buddha called the five mental hindrances, they will take over. So these five mental hindrances, you may have heard of them, but you may not know what they are unless you have gone through the contemplative wisdom, the understanding, and able to have mindfulness to observe yourself. They are sensual desire, ill will, means a positive and negative craving desire. The third one is sloth and torpor, sleepiness. Then the fourth one is restlessness of mind. The mind is restless because there is fear, worry, anxiety, doubt. The last mental hindrance is, of course, doubt. When you don't have the faith and confidence in life and in the teaching. So these five mental hindrances, they are mind states that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner awareness. And because of that, you think a lot. And also because of habitual tendency, heedless living, the mind is not heedful. It's in a state of disorder. There is no order. So it's very difficult. When a country is without proper law and order, you know, it will be chaotic. So a country that is without law and order is a chaotic country. So likewise, your mind, if it's not able to develop order during your daily life, then you live a disorder life, which means chaotic, no law and order to govern anything. And you simply do things. You become heedless. That's how the mental hindrance comes to be, triggering of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion that condition your attachment, clinging, grasping, and affliction. So all this will lead to suffering, misery. That's how the noble truth of dukkha, the first noble truth, come to be. So with this understanding, we need to develop either the five spiritual faculties until it's very stable, so that the moment you meditate, you relax, maintain awareness, the spiritual faculty will take over. Then you are in the states of peace, inner peace and inner awareness. But when you have faith, your mind is very calm and very confident. Then you have virya, it will drive you to cultivate. You will not be sleepy. Then when you are mindful and aware, you don't think, you don't create thought. And because you don't think, you don't create thought, there is no mental state. That's the essential desire, you cannot arise. And when you are aware without thought, you cannot be restless. There is no doubt. So the five mental hindrances cannot arise. And because of that, sati take over. Your mind is just aware without thought. That is the meditative mind. Once you stabilize the awareness, sati, it becomes samadhi. Then when your mind develops sati and samadhi, it can see things as they are and awaken to the truth and the reality. That's why it can see things as they are. It can insight into phenomena and awaken to the three universal characteristics of all phenomena within life and existence. So this is how meditation is to be developed and understood. So now I will bring back the final summary here. You are here to train your mind to be aware. So if you have the spiritual faculty developed, then very easy, you will settle down very fast. If you don't have, then you have to follow the four support. Relax body and mind completely. After relax, maintain awareness. Just aware, don't think, silent everything. Don't try to do anything. Don't try to know. That's why I relax. Away, then this awareness need to be maintained for as long as you can. Then you can do that, it will stabilize your inner awareness. Then you will realize your true mind, which is your silent mind, the meditative mind. So like the quote that I sent out for sharing, I always share this with cultivator of the way. I just say, you must silence everything. Then relax. Then aware. And let your thinking mind or mundane mind return to its original state. If you just do that, which is awareness-based meditation, then you will realize your true mind, your original nature or true nature within. And some people call it the self nature. It's up to you. Whatever you want to call it, it's not important. But you must understand that that is your true nature within, awareness nature within. And that is the one that can meditate, that can insight in the phenomena and awaken, that can develop wisdom, can develop contemplative understanding, see things as they are, insight in the phenomena. We call it the silent mind, the true mind, the meditative mind. So with all this understanding, I will let you meditate on your own. The Buddha is complete in both blessings and wisdom. His blessings are perfect and his wisdom is perfect. And so he is known as the doubly complete, honored one. Yeah. So these are the two virtues that sum up the whole cultivation of all cultivators and Samasambuddha. You must cultivate both blessings and virtue. Blessings are your whatever wholesomeness, virtue. So blessings and virtue, they go hand in hand. Without virtue, there is no blessing. And without virtue, there is no wholesomeness. So the basis of cultivation is if you have cultivated it correctly, then you must have developed the wisdom. And the wisdom will only arise when you have the complete understanding of what this Buddha Dhamma is. So wisdom will lead to virtue. Without wisdom, there is no real virtue. So true virtue manifests from wisdom. That's why when we cultivate, we must cultivate both virtue and wisdom together. And without wisdom, there is no real virtue or true virtue. Then there is no true blessings. I read on. His blessings are perfect and wisdom also perfect. And so he is known as the doubly complete honored one or doubly perfect honored one. In our cultivation too, we should cultivate blessings and wisdom. In all circumstances, we should cultivate wisdom. Don't be like the Arahant with the empty bowl who cultivate wisdom but not blessing. No one makes offering to him. So this one is just Shen Hua's analogy. But normal cultivator of the way, they will understand this very easily. Where it's a very straightforward thing. Without wisdom, there is no virtue. So in cultivation, when we develop wisdom, means we follow the cultivation in accordance with the teaching that Sakyamuni Buddha has taught us. And if we have cultivated it accordingly, then we will realize the Dhamma that he has taught us. Once we realize, we will awaken. Normal people call it the enlightened being. What does it mean by enlightenment or the enlightened being? Enlightenment means the realization of truth, the understanding of the teaching. So when you can have that understanding and that awakening, then it gives rise the wisdom or what the Buddha called Panya in Pali. So this wisdom that arises will make you very, very different. So cultivating Dhamma can lead to awakening, can lead to enlightenment. And from there, you develop the wisdom and the understanding accordingly. Then you will be virtuous, because when you have wisdom, you are incapable of evil. Everything you do is in accordance with nature's condition and understanding. That's why a person who is incapable of evil is naturally good, is naturally virtuous, wholesome. And with that, whatever you manifest will lead to blessing, will lead to a lot of wholesomeness. So with this understanding, I will read on. If you only cultivate blessing but not wisdom, then you are like an elephant with a necklace. This one is Shen Hua's analogy. It may look very beautiful, but it is still very stupid. Those of you who study the Buddha Dharma should cultivate both wisdom and blessing. You must do so actually and in fact, and not just talk about the doing. If you speak it, it's the Dhamma. If you do it, it is the cultivation, the Dhamma way. This is a point which everyone should understand. But a more appropriate understanding is this. When it comes to cultivation, before you develop the awakening or the wisdom, you cannot actually develop true blessings or virtue, because that so-called good or wholesomeness, which you think is a virtue, is a blessing, is good according to you, the individual, according to your views, opinion, and conditioning, your belief system. So whatever you do, you think is virtuous, meritorious, leading to blessing. But in actual fact, it is conventional reality, or what we call the individual truth, which is not nature's truth. Without wisdom, you cannot cultivate true virtue, leading to true blessings. No way. That's why whoever who wants to do good or do meritorious action, you can go and do. Just like the fifth patriarch always mentioned, a lot of so-called Buddhists or cultivators of the way, they are very interested in cultivating merits, leading to blessings and virtue. But these merits are tinted merit, the fifth patriarch called Hongren. He said tinted merit means what? They are not pure merits, not true merit, tinted with what? With your self-delusion, the egoic mind. When there is this self-delusion, whatever you do is egoic. The self is there. So there is always a craving behind. Good according to you, according to your belief system, your conditioning. And all these are not true virtues. Not until you can develop the wisdom to insight into phenomena and awaken to the three universal characteristics, then root out sakkayadity or self-delusion. There is no way you can develop the true virtue leading to true blessing. Okay, so this part is more important, more relevant. Hope you all can bear in mind. So don't be too eager to go after tinted merits. Cultivate sincerely. Develop the faith develop the what they call a sincerity that leads to the true cultivation. When you have the faith and you are sincere, what you need to do next is just persevere, just continuously cultivate and develop the understanding and the awakening, leading to the wisdom. When wisdom dawns upon the cultivator of the way, then they naturally develop the ability to do wholesome actions, patient thought process. They will have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Without that right view, there is no way. So right view is wisdom, the panya perfecta. Right view in regards to the three spiritual laws that governs all of life and existence. The first one is the law of karma, karma niyama, followed by citta niyama, which is the law of mind. Then the third spiritual truth or reality is dhamma niyama. Dhamma niyama, as the word dhamma means, they are the essential dhamma or truth that the Buddha has taught us. So when you have this right view, it constitutes right understanding, wisdom, then you will never violate this three right view, because this right view will prevent you from cultivating the wrong teaching. That's why right view leading to right understanding is the wisdom factor behind. Without the right understanding, there is no cultivation. That's the reason why my nature always share with you all, you must cultivate based on understanding. If you cultivate following instruction or what people tell you without understanding, then you can end up being gullible and wasting time. Because most of the thing that is taught within the present Buddhist fraternity, also called popularly accepted cultivation, they are mostly thought-based. And when it is thought-based, it's very difficult for one who use this thought-based method, technique, and so-called cultivation to realize the Dhamma, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So no way. So hopefully, all this can now be understood better and clearer to cultivator. Okay, I will read on. If you only cultivate blessing but not wisdom, then you are like that, an elephant with a necklace. It may look very beautiful, but it is still very stupid. Those of you who study the Buddha Dharma should cultivate both wisdom and blessing. You must do so, actually, and in fact. The English here is not so smooth. I may have to change it a bit. You must do so sincerely, and not just talk about it, but really cultivate. So that if you speak it, it is the Dhamma. If you were to act upon it, it is the Dhamma too. This is the point which everyone should develop the understanding. Therefore means because of this reason, that is, because Manjushri Bodhisattva said that he has in the past seen limitless Buddhas manifest such potence. How it should be known that the manifestation of light by the present Buddha, Sakyamuni Buddha, is also thus. You should know that Sakyamuni Buddha now manifest the white hair mark like, and it is also just as when the limitless Buddha of the past were about to speak the great Dhamma, to rain the great Dhamma rain, to blow the great Dhamma coach, to beat the great Dhamma drum, and to proclaim great Dhamma doctrine and principle. The principle is the same. Because he wishes to lead all living beings to hear and understand, Sakyamuni Buddha wants to cause all living beings to hear the Dhamma and to develop understanding of it. This Dhamma which in the world is hard to believe. The explanation or commentary is this kind of Dhamma is hard to believe. It is difficult for living beings to have faith in it. Why didn't the Buddha speak the Dhamma Flower Sutta before? Why did he first speak the teachings of the three storehouse or the provisional teaching and expound the small vehicle sutra? It was just because the great vehicle Dhamma Dao is the Dhamma which is hard to believe. That is why, as it is stated later in the text, as soon as the Buddha began to speak the Dhamma, 5,000 people got up and walked out from the Dhamma assembly. Why is it hard to believe that it is too wonderful and too profound? It is hard for people with an ordinary wisdom to understand it. It is so wonderful that it is hard for people with their ordinary thoughts to understand it. They think about it and they don't understand it. They ponder it, but they don't know what it means. So the Buddha didn't speak this profound and wonderful Dhamma right away. He therefore manifests this potent. He displays the auspicious sign. Okay, we go to the next part, the sutta. Good man, it is just as in the past, limitless, powerless, inconceivable, asankhaya kappas, eons ago. We go to the commentary. Good man here means all of you good men. It is just as in the past, limitless, boundless, inconceivable, sankhaya kappas, or eons ago. The commentary is, I remember it's just like it was in the past, when limitless, uncountable, boundless, inconceivable, that is, they cannot be thought of with the mind or expressed in words. Asankhaya kappas, a Sanskrit word for uncountable eons ago. Then we go to the sutra. There was at that time a Buddha named Brightness of Sun Moon Lamp, Taskamwan. One worthy of offering, one of proper and universal knowledge, one of proper clarity and conduct, well gone one. An unsurpassed knight who understands the world, a hero who subduces and tames, a teacher of man and God, the Buddha, the world honored one. We go to the commentaries. There are at that time a Buddha named Brightness Sun Moon Lamp who appeared in the world. How did he get that name? The name of the Buddha had three meanings. The sun represents the Buddha's wisdom, which is like the sun. The sun dispels all darkness and gives light. The moon represents the Buddha's samadhi power. The Buddha's samadhi power is like the moon in space. The lamp represents the Buddha's precept power. Every Buddha has completely perfected sila, samadhi, and panya. Thus come one. Is the Buddha's 10 titles. Every single Buddha has his own particular name. Like the Sutta, the Buddha has specific and common names. This Buddha's specific name is Brightness of Sun Moon Lamp. It's a name which only this Buddha has. The common name is common to all Buddhas. The 10 titles which follow are common to all Buddhas. All Buddhas are known by these 10 titles. In the beginning, every Buddha has 100 million names. Why did they have so many names? What is the use of that? It was because each of the 100 million names represent their adornment. Their adornment of the 10,000 virtue, their virtuous practice or cultivation. Later, because living beings couldn't remember so many names clearly, they were decreased to 100,000 names. But that was also quite a few. And so they again reduced to 10,000. 10,000 names was still too many. And so they were reduced to 1,000 names. Every Buddha had 1,000 names, but that was still too many. And so they were reduced to 100. 100 proved to be too many too. It took too long just to say a Buddha's name. And so they were reduced to 10. And all Buddha had those 10 titles, 10 common names. Some people who don't understand the Buddha Dharma said, Tathagatamwan Buddha. In fact, the Tathagatamwan is the Buddha. And the Buddha is just the Tathagatamwan. They said Tathagatamwan Buddha, thinking that only one Buddha has the name Tathagatamwan. And that the other Buddha are not called the Tathagatamwan. Actually, every single Buddha is called Buddha and the Tathagatamwan. Those who don't understand the Buddha Dharma sometimes say very strange things. So this is Shen Hua's commentary. I have to explain this Tathagatamwan. Tas is suchness. It comes from the word tatata. So tatata is suchness. And the Buddha also has another name called Tathagata. He's an expert in tatata, suchness. So the Tathagatamwan is the one that has realized complete perfection of wisdom and virtue, thereby becoming such. That's why he is the expert in such teaching. That's why he is called the Tathagatamwan, the Tathagata. Okay, then I will read on. What is meant by Tathagata? Hopefully here they explain. The Vajra Sutta say, means the Diamond Sutta, that he comes from nowhere and goes nowhere. He is called the Tathagatamwan. He neither come nor go. And so he is called the Tathagatamwan. You may also explain this title by saying, Tas means that using the way which is Tas, they come to realize the right enlightenment. So actually the true meaning is suchness. From Tas means unchanging. And come means to accord with condition. So this one is very important. Tas is also stillness. Come is movement. Movement and stillness are one tasness. That's why it's called suchness. Movement is stillness, and stillness is movement. Movement does not obstruct stillness. And stillness does not obstruct movement. The meaning of the title Tathagatamwan could be greatly expanded upon. But we shall now proceed to the second of the 10 titles. One worthy of offering. This means that the Buddha should rightfully receive the offering of people and God. People in the world should make offering to the Buddha. That's why he is called the worthy one. Worthy of one, worthy of offering. And people in the heavens should also make offering to him. He is one worthy of receiving the offering. One of the proper and universal knowledge. So proper and universal knowledge means that he understands that the 10,000 dhammas are produced from the mind and are not apart from the current thought in our minds. Understanding that the one current thought in our mind can produce the 10,000 dhamma is said to have proper knowledge. To know that the 10,000 dhammas are only the mind, that all dhamma do not go beyond a current thought of the mind, is said to be universal knowledge. Proper universal knowledge vertically exhausts the three limits, the past, present, and future, and horizontally pervades the 10 directions. So this one is a very unique quality. Eh? One of perfect clarity and conduct. Clarity refers to wisdom. Conduct refers to blessings and virtue. He is complete with blessings and virtue and with wisdom. Well gone one. He has gone to a good place, to the very best place. An unsurpassed knight who understands the world. The Buddha understands all doctrine, both mundane and transcendental, and so he is the one who understands the world. The Buddha is an unsurpassed teacher. The Bodhisattva at the level of equal enlightenment still have one small minute particle of production mark, ignorant, which they are. They have not yet destroyed or rooted out. Because they haven't broken through that one particle of ignorance, one particle of the Dhamma body remains as yet unmanifested. Therefore, although they are on equal enlightenment, called equal enlightenment bodhisattvas, they are called surpassed knights, because above them, there is still the Buddha. The Buddha has reached the level of wonderful enlightenment, and so he is called the unsurpassed knight. He is the highest. A hero who subdues and tames. To subdue means to use compassion to teach and transform living beings. Depending upon the kind of Dhamma Dhamma a living being likes, the Buddha uses just that Dhamma Dhamma to cross him over. To tame means that the Buddha uses awesome virtue and dignity to control living being. Here the word control is not correct. Eh? To tame living being, to receive all living being. Living beings who see the Buddha are respectful and stand in awe of him. They revel the Buddha's awesome virtue and are awed by his majestic demeanor. The hero is a great hero, one who subdues and tames all the living beings in the world. And so he is known as hero who subdues and tames. And then next one. Teacher of man God. The Buddha is the master or teacher of man and God. The Buddha, the word Buddha means the enlightened one, the fully enlightened one. There are three kinds of enlightenment. Self-enlightenment, enlightenment of others, and the perfection of enlightenment and practices. What is self-enlightenment? How does it differ from other kinds? Those with self-enlightenment are different from common people. Common people are all called unenlightened, means bodhicittas. They have not awakened. They don't know that there is no peace in the tree realm. They are just like a burning house. They don't know that this world is just like a raging fire, and that it is very easy to be burned to a crisp in it. There is not a single place in the tree realm that is peaceful. It's just as dangerous as being in the flame building. So the common people are not enlightened. Those with self-enlightenment have enlightenment. or awaken themselves. They have certified to the attainment of the fruition of arahantship, means the sainthood way. How do those who enlighten others differ from the self-enlightened? Self-enlightenment is the rhyme of the arahant or the sainthood way, the saints, or the noble ones. The enlightenment of others is the rhyme of the bodhisattvas. The bodhisattva himself is enlightened, and he thinks that enlightenment is not bad at all. It's extremely wonderful, in fact, and he is very happy since he has obtained the subtle and wonderful happiness himself, as well as understanding of the doctrine of the world. He also caused everyone to obtain this wonderful experience and joy and have these advantages or benefits. He takes that which he has experienced in his path of cultivation and teaches it to others. He speaks it for them all to hear. So when he talk about others' enlightenment, this one is for the cultivation of the bodhisattva way. That's why it's different. The enlightenment of others. I read on. For example, a certain lay people or lay person now wishes to be one of self-enlightenment who enlightens others. He is going to the university to lecture on the Buddha Dharma. Although he has not claimed to have certified to any particular fruit, he has chosen to bring forth the bodhisattva resolve. I know as much as I know, and I am not afraid that people will say, I lecture well or poorly. I am just going to go ahead and lecture. That is the bodhisattva heart, which self-enlightens others. Besides, I have great faith in what this lay person says. He is very eloquent and takes the principles from Chinese and put them into English in an inconceivable way. This is just the enlightenment of others. If one can constantly bring forth the bodhisattva heart and not work for fame or profit and not think, I'm going to lecture, and when I am done, I will be famous. Or when I am done lecturing, I will get so much money. This is self-enlightenment and the enlightenment of others. Don't take this matter lightly. Any one of you who become self-enlightened and then want to enlighten others, you must not behave in that way. I am lecturing the sutta to you, and although it is not 100% fine still, you can expand on what I say. For example, if I lecture one doctrine, you can obtain 10 from it, and then lecture 10. If I speak about the Tuscan one and say just a little bit, you can investigate the term in the sutta and find a lot of different ways of explaining it, and compare and collate them. I hope that all of you were self-enlightened and enlighten others, means you all go the bodhisattva way. Regardless of whether you are male or female, don't be afraid. Don't say, if I speak, will they laugh? So what if they laugh? Laughter is just laughter after all. Pay no attention to them. Let them laugh. But I am going to lecture. You should bring forth this kind of bodhisattva heart. This is the self-enlightenment and the enlightenment of others. Although it is the result of the bodhisattva, it is still not the same as the third type of enlightenment, the perfection of enlightenment and practice. The Buddha is the one who has perfected his own self-enlightenment and his enlightenment of others. He has also perfectly finished both of these jobs. and so he is called the Buddha. Then the world honored one, the final one. What is meant by world honored one? Honored means the most lofty, the most venerable, the most highly esteemed. There is no one higher than the one who is honored. World means his world. Is the Buddha merely honored in those by those in the world? No, he is honored by those in and those beyond the world. The people in the world all respect, pay respect to the Buddha, and the people beyond the world also must respect the Buddha. Where he is honored by those in and beyond the world. He is called the World Honored One. It's spoken in detail. The title World Honored One could be explained for several years without finishing. Now I have explained the meaning of the Buddha's 10 title in a very general way. If you wish to look into them more deeply, you can do so on your own. Okay, I think we will stop here. But before that, I have to explain a little bit. Here, if you were to look through the teaching in the Theravada Sutta, you will realize under the salutation to the Buddha, when we chant the salutation to the Buddha, we chant the great 9 great virtues of the Buddha. Iti peso bhagava arama sama sambuddha and all those things. So these are the 9 great virtues or the title that all sama sambuddha will be referred to. Yes, these are his or their 9 great virtues. Then the task come one is another title. That's why it become 10. So this, if you go through, it will be the same. There is no difference at all. Maybe I will just read through the Theravada version from the chanting book so that you may have better understanding. So here, salutation to the Buddha or the Buddha Vandana when we chant is Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho. So this first 3 stanza means such indeed is the blessed one. The Bhagava is the blessed one. Arahant is the Arahant, worthy one, the worthy one. Then Sama Sambuddha, he is the fully enlightened one, a perfectly enlightened one. So this one already 3. Yeah? Then Vijjacarana Sampanno, he is endowed with wisdom and virtue. So this is the 4th one. The 5th one is, he is the Sugato, the accomplished one. Then Lokavido, knower of the world. Then Anuttaro, Purisadhamma Sarati, the incomparable teacher or guide of those who can be trained. Means nobody can beat him. Then Satta Deva Manusana, he is the teacher of man and God. Means he can teach any being, man and God. Then Buddha Bhagavati, he is the enlightened one, the blessed one. So these 9 great virtues, together with the Taskam one, become the 10 perfection, the 10. What they call under the Mahayana, under this wonderful Dhamma Lotus Sutta, Lotus Flower Sutta, is the same, the 10 common names or title. Okay, we have to take a break. Okay, so now you have our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have, or you can share any of your experience Dhamma in daily life, so that we can have a good Dhamma discussion topic.
Good evening, Brother Teo, Mrs.
Teo.
Chief Radio， 我想
啊
report 一个 experience 在 last Tuesday 的。
啊，沙六，很好啊 ，the physical class， yeah。
没有，我这个是在before 我们 class
哦、oh, ，before the before the physical class， yeah， okay,
是的，before 我睡觉的时候，当我 lying down on the bed 的时候，then 我一 start relax， 然后我就 feel 到我的 right hand side， 好像有一个 pulse position， 一个跳动的脉在
跳，这样
子哦。然后在我就知道我的那个什么要去知道是什么来的。
哦、OK，
然后在。他就是一直想去知道 ，then 我就 ask guidance from 观世音菩萨。
OK。
然后 after that 过了不久，然后我就 feel 到 there's a 好像一个 reverse stream 的 flow 这样。
OK。
Then from 我的left hand side heart area 那边啊，那个就 after that。Then 他的那个气好像 flow down to 那个汤底、then after that 就down to 我的屁股 ，then after that 就是放一个屁这样。
哦，好啊，哈哈，那就
这样。You know 他是很清楚的。
Yeah, very clear. You should be able to experience that, Because when you are completely silent and allow the thing to be, means that trust will create that kind of manifestation or movement, and your awareness can be aware of what is happening. That's why finally the byproduct is gas, or what we call the fat. But this one, no smell, it's like pure energy that go through the thing and the dissolving of the thing. This one is not the one through the intestine and all this thing, where there is sometimes if our food is such, there is some foul smell or what. But the one that go through the gateway and the trust is different. It doesn't go through the intestine one. It's the pure energy clearing the thing. That's why that one no smell one. Yeah, you can continue.
Bradio 他
yeah.
他就是好像你讲的以前讲的那个整个过程啊，我以前没有 experience 嘛，就算我 experience 到，我就知道他的那个 flow 啊，真的好像很 soothing， 好像是。
Yeah, very soothing. And very natural. 很自然。
对。Anyway， 这是一个experience 给我去学习
的。Good. 好啊。Continue to relax and let the trust manifest. Then 你要 relax 到很深 ，until it really go in deep until the heart area or the whole thing will move and open up. Then there is the whole movement. Until like inside there is hollow. Then the front and back also like that become like hollow. Hollow means it has already developed the transformation and all those things. Then your vibration, your nature's vibration, because you have a physical body that has the gateway for you to actually develop that fourth support trust. So trust that nature to do, and that nature through that gateway will transform all of cultivators yin yang external energy into the pure energy that go through the gateway to our true nature. So this gateway is supported by the physical body. then this physical body as the pure energy go through, it will activate the whatever they call it, the nerve centers, the nadis, the small one, and also the major chakra, and whichever that need to be activated, that nature through trust activate itself. It just do itself without the interference from the thought or the mundane mind's views, opinion, or the thought directing it, completely without that thing. That's why it is already intelligent. It know what to do. It moves on its own. And different people have different stages of cultivation and different physical body formation. The condition of the nadis and the chakra are all different because everyone is different. Then when they activate, the individual will understand what is going on. Then you will go through the transformation. So all this can take quite a while. That's why since 1989 until now, it has been about 32 plus or 33 years already. 33 years, I mean, for my physical body, that transformation thing has happened for 31 years. And it's still evolving, moving. But the whole thing has become so different. Because my nature inside there, the heart there, the area, the whole thing is like hollow inside there. There is nothing inside there anymore, not like before. But initially when you start, it's just near the heart area there. You have to be completely silent without thought, without any sankara activity. It has to be that nature, the silent mind, the awareness nature. You have to detect first. After it detect, then you relax and let it melt in. Then it will happen like what you and Pocheng Liao have gone through. You will know that it will naturally move. Then after that, the transformation will happen. Initially, it's very slow. Very slow, I remember. That's why you need to have a lot of perseverance, patience. And the key to understanding all this is trust. Trust that nature to do. Don't interfere with the mind. Don't get excited. Just relax. Maintain awareness. And let that nature do. Then after that, you can develop the understanding on your own. You will know what is happening. Then you will know this is way beyond what people can do. The normal cultivator cannot touch this, cannot even realize this. Well, this one is for beings who cultivate with higher understanding and wisdom. And it needs a lot of support from all the great beings together with the understanding of what awareness-based meditation is. And then only it can move in this direction. So keep up with the good understanding and continue to relax into it and let it manifest. It's going to take very long and it's unending. Okay, Alicia?
Sadhu Bharatiyo.
Sadhu.
Hey. 还有就是，
You can continue. Yeah.
我听到 Bradio 讲的那个讲课的时候， Bradio 现在讲的 the law of karma on the second aspect, like the mind on the mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
所以我现在我开始明白 Bradio 讲的。
Yeah. At the mind level.
Right. 以前我都 like 那些 Dharma 都好像 就是不一样的 understanding.
因为那个时候你还没有那个 wisdom and the awareness nature to develop the understanding. But once you go through the cultivation and transform, your wisdom and your refinement of mindfulness and awareness will allow you to understand and see That's why the karmic that is committed at the mental level or thought level is very different. The slightest already has its karmic implication. That's why your nature will know one. You will know one. You will not arise all those things. Because sometimes it's not to say we are already different or what. Certain thing you can't say means you can't say one. But human beings sometimes, because they don't understand this law, they don't understand how all this can manifest. That's why I remember I shared with you all one incident when I was in first year university. That time, my classmates, they were discussing how to develop skill in motorbike driving, because you know, from Alastair, I drive motorbike very often, and I'm very skillful. So suddenly, that topic interests me, and I had the joy that I wanted to say, but I didn't say. Straight away, I knew I should kena already. Luckily, what happened was not serious. So that thought arise, which is the truth. It's not something like you add in or try to post or no. What I want to say was, I'm very skillful. I'm very good. And until now, no accident, nothing. This type of thing you cannot say. It's the ego. It is the egoic mind that wants to impress people and all those things. But as cultivator, we will know one. Even though you have the ability and it has been doing very well. But the moment you say you should know, it will manifest and show it to you. That's why after that, I think the next day or what, when I drove the motorbike down to Brickfield, I remember. Then on the way back, I was coming through the Federal Highway. There were 3 potholes in a row. Normally, 1 pothole, I will escape one. So the first pothole I went through, it like the motorbike tire like went into the pothole. But my hand was still on the handle. That's why I managed to, because I was skillful, managed to continue on it. But the second pothole, finish already. Both my hands slip off. Then I hit the third pothole and the whole motorbike went off. Then I fell, of course I fell. Well, the motorbike also fell. Then luckily that time I was still a student. I wear a very cheap jacket, the one we used to buy as a student. Then, of course, luckily the gene was there. So my hand was injured and wounded. Means I need to go back and apply the what they call antiseptic. That time, I only know the yellow lotion. So luckily, I went back. Because my father is Chinese medicine sensei, so he spared all these things for me. So I applied, then I recovered. But nowadays, better still, there is this antiseptic cream. But initially, you have to wash it. Wash it with alcohol or this yellow lotion. Sometimes they sell as red color. Like blood, but also antiseptic. Then there is also one with iodine on the blue color, or that one very painful. So normally I apply the yellow. Then nowadays the cream is good, antiseptic cream. You got any kind of one, you just apply, and you will recover. So at the thought level, it really manifests. That's why you cannot simply say things. Because it's from my past cultivation. That's why my nature know. And at night, I didn't really have penetrated deep into the cultivation. The first year that time, I just managed to do the Anapanasati on the first day when I arrived. Then my mind became very calm. Then I developed continuous absorption, mindfulness absorption. Then I like to meditate because my Anapanasati very fast, it comes naturally. And I was in a state of absorption very fast. That's why that time, the mind was so absorbed, like fully absorbed into it. No thought, no movement, very peaceful. Then nothing can disturb me. You know? It's like when I developed the meditation that time. At the heart area, it's like a core of energy. We call it like a steel ring. Very steel inside the core of absorption energy still. Then nothing can disturb it or no. Even thunder or water, no fear, nothing, or it cannot come near. But this one is still a conditioned state. That's why later on I know once I stop the continuous absorption type of energy field meditation, all this no more. Then I realize the sankhara, the mental hindrance, they are still there, not rooted out yet. That's why later on I came to know. Then I met my Thai teacher, Ajahn Yantra, who told me the highest meditation. We choose aware, all action, all movement in the present moment. When I heard that, then only I realized, no wonder the analogy of the steel water in a glass become very obvious. Because all these mental hindrance, they are like the defilements. Means like particles. They are inside there. But if you allow the water to stand still and don't disturb it, means let the mind return this original state, then all these which are not rooted out, they will settle down. The sediment all will settle down. Then like clear water, it's like you are in the enlightened state. But the sediment, the five mental hindrance, they are not rooted out. They are still down there, suppressed. Because of energy field, but you really like enlightening. That's why later on, when I heard that from my Thai teacher, Ajahn Yantra, I straight away knew that what I have done is different. That's why I know it's a energy field, or what they call a conditioned state. It's not a free mind. If it's a free mind, not conditioned into the absorption, calmness, or stillness, then you can know whether it's rooted out or not. But because it is a conditioned state, that's why at that time, like you are already transformed, enlightened. But actually, no, because the mental hindrance, they are still down there, not rooted out yet, although not active. They call it dormant. It cannot surface. The conditioned state of energy field in absorption, continuous mindfulness absorption, very steep. So all this, if you go through, you will understand. That's why later on, I revert back. I release the Anapanasati out. Then I come back to normal awareness. Of course, I release it until Upajara Samadhi, means excess concentration. Before I go into Apana, means I'm in a relaxed state of awareness, and yet it is still relatively calm, because that one is the mindfulness, the awareness that is there, but it's not in a state of Apana or Absorption Samadhi. So that one is actually near to a free mind, almost a free mind. Except there is some form of stability of mindfulness, or what we call samadhi, but not apana. It's at the upachara samadhi. means it's a free mind, capable of observation, capable of understanding, capable of whatever movement or activity. That's why that one is a free mind that I can see what is happening. Then because the mental hindrance are there, how it stir that mundane mind and condition it into negativity, emotion, the awareness nature can see and it can understand. Then it can develop the wisdom to awaken. That's how it can insight into phenomena. And all those understanding keep on surfacing, keep on arising. Then when my daily mindfulness become very stable, when throughout the day I was in the state of awareness, mindfulness, sati, then only I start to understand the real awareness-based meditation. So that I penetrated and realized a lot of things. Then I realized the cessation. But it was initially the glimpse, but good enough. Then later on, of course, after I developed the understanding, after the Dhamma stabilized, then my vow took me to meet up with my last guide, the one that actually activated my nature, my gateway. Because he was the one that told me where the gateway is. Then he asked, do you trust me? I said, I trust you. He said, okay, relax. Relax. Then maintain awareness, silent everything. I said, that one, okay, very good already. I can do it already. The first three. Then I just relax. Then suddenly, within, I think, 10 seconds or what, I detected that gateway. I knew what that thing was. Where the awareness detected, where I was silent, completely without thought. Relax. Okay. Then straight away it activated itself. Then it went in. Then I became so still, so quiet, like completely transformed. Like the whole physical body, like a car perfectly tuned until the tuning. You cannot hear the vibration of it. So it's like very quiet, the engine. Very soothing. Whereas the normal car, no matter how you tune, it's still the engine sound is still there. It may be quieter, but the engine sound is still. But this one is like completely very fine until like no sound at all. And the thing becomes so different. Then I can also remember that time I feel like for the first time in my life, my whole physical body was like a perfect body. So that time I remember the pure energy that went in, healed me. Like anything that I was having at that time, it healed. So I got no more problem. It's like a perfectly tuned physical body. Then free of sickness or disease or whatever that time. So that was how it can manifest. That's why when you go through the right cultivation, the right training with the right understanding, all this become possible. So with all this sharing, hopefully, it can give your faith understanding, and those who have the ability to do it will understand this much better. It's just like what Wu Cheng has gone through, and also some other kilometers. And together today, Alicia sharing is very good because she has developed some of this ability, and she also going through the transformation. That's why she can understand what I mean when I say karmic at the mind level, mental level, is not necessarily action, speech. That one is still gross transgression at the action and speech, but at the thought level, mental, that one also karmic, but very, very different. Because the intention itself, trigger off, has karmic, then it will manifest. So all these are very beautiful sharing. So you should try our best to develop the understanding. Then just listen, understand, and let it be. Then let the cultivation take on. Don't go and look for it. You look for it, the thought will come in. So always remember this. So good, Alicia. You can continue.
And then, brother, to you.
Yeah.
No wonder 我们要 without advice, 我们要 purify 我们的 mind.
Yeah.
因为如果不是的话, 我们一直 commit 那个 karmic.
Yeah.
So 我们的业障是永远都
对，很难. they say what? 很难消掉啊.
对，有点清不清，清除不完.
That's why I in the yellow card I teach you all how to break all those karmic obstructions. Your normal human being sure have a lot of all those karmic things behind, and you never know over the eons and eons of birth and death as a unenlightened being or Buddhajana, you would have committed a lot of this karmic without you knowing. That's why it is very important that cultivator of the way must ask for forgiveness, develop the understanding to repent, then invoke power, merits, and wholesomeness for causes and conditions to resolve all this amicably and break them. If you don't break the karmic obstruction, they will really obstruct the cultivator in ways that you never understand. That's why without the true great beings or Buddha to guide, this way is not easy, I tell you. But to develop the same way is relatively easier, so much easier. But to go the Bodhisattva way, to do all this perfection and develop all this ability to liberate and take across all living beings, just like just now Master Xuanhua shared, it's not only self-enlightenment, 自度他, enlighten others. It's the work of the Bodhisattva. Then, of course, the final one is the perfect enlightenment, which is the perfection of the 10 paramitas leading to Buddhahood or Sammasambuddhahood. So that one is the final. They call it the final summation of the cultivation and the practice. So all these are very important understanding. That's why you don't make aspiration by invoking power memory like what I teach you under the yellow card, the last page, the miscellaneous form. You should constantly invoke the power of merit for causes and conditions to cultivate special affinity with all the great beings and all the Sammasambuddha and request for their blessing, protection, and guidance. Then thank them for whatever blessing, protection, and guidance all this one. So all this understanding are very important, very beautiful, and it will help you to actually progress along the path of Dhamma. And with their help, you move very much faster. Because every life you come, your form and mind is very fragile, very, what I should say, vulnerable. So the protection is for our form and mind. Not our nature. Our nature don't need protection. But the form and mind is very delicate, very fragile, very vulnerable. Anytime can just go. So if you have this creeping's nature to protect you, especially Kuan Yin's nature, you will have more probability of survival to continue your cultivation and protection. Like this life, I already told you. My form and mind will have died 3 times. If it's not because of Kuan Yin. So all these are very important understanding and sharing. That's why to really walk this way, you need a lot of guidance, a lot of understanding. Yeah. And after that, when you are ready, you can also guide people, teach people, share all this understanding with people. Yeah. But most important is cultivate yourself, develop the understanding first, perfect yourself first. Then you will come to an understanding when you are ready. Your nature will tell you, and it will manifest. So what Alicia said is very true. Sadhu. You really need guidance and all those things. That's why affinity with all these great beings are very important.
Actually, 他的念佛圆通章里面有讲过，就是我们要读色六根，然后净念相续，然后才能够有那个什么的，otherwise我们的念起来就一直 commit to 那个 karmic 嘛。对对对对对。我都不明白，所以现在我终于明白。从现在起，你就会。
慢慢慢慢明白 and 理解 what is being spoken. The meaning is very deep. These are great beings. 大势至 is a very special being. He is Amitabha Buddha's, don't know, left or right hand disciple. Together with Kuan Si Ying, the two support Amitabha. Yeah, you can continue your sharing, Alicia.
其实，brother，很多时候，brother就讲我们处处都可以修行，处处都是道场。对，我就想分享一下我的那个炒花生的经验。
哦，沙丘，好啊。yesterday，当我在炒花生的时候，我的
awareness 是有一个 chanting 说观音菩萨，观音菩萨，观音菩萨。哦，沙丘。炒花生的那个就是跟那个 chanting 那个
movement，那个抖，跟一模一样，都是
all in one. Then 我就。 Full of joy, I was like, wow,
yeah.
原来那是处处都是道场。对，truth is everywhere，时时刻刻都能够用。对，就很多 joy
咯。所以我觉得你就是要有那个正念的 awareness. When you have the awareness, everything is Dhamma. We are from that nature, everything manifests. Without thought, you are most beautiful. That's why you must have this ability to be fully aware, constantly aware, ever mindful, to be heedful. Without that, without the self inner awareness, you can't cultivate, you can't develop all this understanding. You cannot manifest like what you try to share with others. When you have this ability, everything is Dhamma. Everywhere is Dhamma, 处处都是道场, which is correct. Well, like I said, life itself is our greatest teacher. Cultivation is in the midst of life, because it's in the midst of life that we create all this movement, interaction, Dhamma. When you have that nature, the awareness nature within, stable, then you can understand all this. You can see all this. All this can manifest. Very beautiful. Very good.
Without 这个所有的因缘也不能够成就，所有的业，所以我会好好的学习，因为真的在这个 这个 path 里面，我觉得真的是学无止境，它 like no ending, like brother,
对 ，unending, yeah, unending,
所以我都在
because your gratitude is very important. That
yeah.
gratitude actually make your mind different. That 感恩啊 that gratitude towards all these great beings, the Samasambuddha, the great beings, all the guides and teachers, and even to all those who enable us to have the condition to cultivate, including kayamitas and living beings. Yeah. Then we start to understand the law of conditionality, means dependent originating. Everything is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. Within that movement, we must have right view, right understanding to comprehend how the nature's law function, the spiritual law, how it manifests, how it evolves, and how it functions. Without that understanding, you cannot move. You cannot develop the wisdom and the cultivation. So the understanding of it is right view. Where we have right view with regards to the three spiritual law, karma, niyama, citta, niyama, and dhamma, niyama, we become like expert in the nature's law that governs life and existence, then we can understand life clearly, beautifully. Then life becomes wonderful, beautiful, amazing. So all these are the natural consequence of correct, appropriate cultivation based on understanding. And these are beautiful. Understanding and sharing. So tonight, on, I think we should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Because Alicia has brought out very good condition for all this to be discussed and to be shared. And now, Alicia, continue.
他的 sharing 让我想到就是随缘自在，
对，
and then
you can be at peace anywhere any place within any situation and condition. 随缘自在 is a very good word. Just let things be, yeah, and be natural at ease. 自在，good, that is the correct one. 你 continue to share。
是的，因为当下如果慧荣处在那个环境里面，如果他没有那个随缘自在，他也不会 develop 这个。
That's why she explained that she has this ability to accept what is. Then she just fall, everything fit in and fall into place. That's why the 2 weeks of quarantine at the hotel in Taiwan turned out to be the most beautiful experience she has ever had in her life, because he said it's more calm and more peaceful than when he was at even the retreat. How can this be possible? It's because she has been developing all this understanding without her knowing. And she also, in the sharing, explained, in the past, this is not her way. She will not do that. But strangely, when that thing happened, she just echoed and flow, like you say. Then everything becomes so beautiful. She can like develop the ability to be at peace with its own nature. We have less interaction, like she said. Then everything is just the way it is. She just go about developing all the understanding and do what she need to do, her office work and all those things. So she continue through that silence, because there is very little interaction with society and people. So because of that, the nature, which already has the understanding and the training, settle down very fast. And that's why she was able to experience The inner peace, the inner tranquility, stillness, awareness nature, very differently. Yeah. Then I also advise her and share with her, if this retreat comes, she, with this ability, will transform very fast. She will settle down very fast. Now that the understanding is there, she has this ability. Hello.
Yes, yes, I have something to share.
Ah, sadhu.
Actually, I want to continue. I want to finish what Alicia shared with me that day about Huirong sharing. So the few phrases that she shared with me, which is very, very beautiful.
Yeah, sadhu.
So, 随缘自在.
Yeah.
自在随缘.
Yes.
随意而安. 那就是修行。
对。
生活中处处体现修行, 修行时时处于生活, 生活,
yeah, very good. So,
就在身边。
Yeah.
So which I find is very, very beautiful. That's why
If you can understand and let it manifest in life, then you have the Dhamma. Because that is the Dhamma. 自在, 随缘, echo and flow. Be natural. That is the nature within living life. You are only not natural when your thought is trying to live your life. Because you are conditioned by your views, opinion, and ideology or belief system, thinking that you must live life in that manner. Then you become unnatural. Where you try to behave according to what your thought tell you, which you think is the right way to live life. No. In fact, a lot of cultivators also make that mistake. Because they believe progress means you must have certain quality. Then they don't understand what it is. So the thought will tell them, oh, no more craving. So you will try to act like, I am not attached to good food. I'm not attached to this, not attached to that. Even nice music also, no, doesn't affect me. It's not like that. The real cultivation is to accord and flow. Be natural. Be at peace with all things, all situations. Be natural means not acting according to memory, which is our views, opinion, and conditioning. Then you are no longer natural. Then all of your so-called rites and ritual or taboo, or they call tradition, they will block you, bind you. Yeah, you will recall to me, hey, this one my mother say cannot do. Oh, or that monk told me cannot do. Or the Buddhist teaching say cannot do. Just like what you heard over the newspaper, about the Japanese culture thing. So a lot of these things become problem when you don't understand. But when you understand, it is totally different. Because culture is culture. Religious thing is by the individual, created by the individual. Well, all religion teaches the individual or the cultivator to have love, to have compassion, to develop virtue, not to kill, not to harm, not to do all this, not to create disharmony and all those things. That's why they talk about tolerance, acceptance, understanding. So all this, when people lack understanding, they cannot inculcate all this good quality to bring about harmony in society. Why must we allow the label to create disharmony? Like we all know, every profession in this world has its own black sheep in it. Not everybody within the same profession is a professional. There are a lot. They call it the black sheep of the profession. So when you know that, means unless they are enlightened, already has the Dhamma, the understanding, they will come up with all sorts of funny type of argument, especially in politics. or whatever in daily life, when you hear the media or the discussion, or actually a lot of all those things are thought-based, leading to division and all those things. It's not based on understanding and wisdom. So what you can share is very good, Elsie. You can continue. And how? You can remember what Alicia told you also.
That is what Alicia shared with me, which I find very, very
good. Yeah, very useful.
Yeah, a lot of times, we just follow our thought a lot of times. Just like me also, sometimes I always thought, oh, today I feel so sleepy. So whether I'm going to attend the class tonight, you know, so the thought always tell me that, you know.
Yeah, so that's why you have to understand what is thought. When you understand how thought actually create all this division, then you will know how to develop the understanding to be free from all this wrong thought, negative thought. It's not the thought that is giving you the problem. It is how you perceive those thoughts, the user of that thought. But through ignorance, through delusion, it manifests. Then it creates conditioning, wrong thought and all those things. Then from there, you will act according to that memory, which is those conditioning. Then all these wrong thoughts will manifest. That's why listen to your awareness nature. The awareness nature that is aware will break off the thought. When you are aware, you cannot think. But when you think, you lost your awareness. So this one is very important. So don't believe your thought until you have the understanding. Before you have the understanding, just be aware. Whatever the thought tell you, aware. Then develop the understanding. Then when you are aware, you start to see how you are conditioned into negativity, how you react and become emotional, how fear arise, how worry arise, how it make you like behave differently. Like your example just now, the thought is trying to give you the excuse. Maybe I'm tired. Maybe I should not attend the class and all those things. So this will manifest. But when you have the faith, the virya, naturally you will lock in. And you will find the session very interesting. You will find the session very beneficial. And you will pay attention. The attentive nature that understand the importance of Dhamma. Like that day, I think one of the Kayamita, Ahui Rong, he said, at first he also had that introvert type of thinking. He doesn't like to go and attend all these social things and all that. He like to isolate. And she said, it has been almost 2 years she hasn't attend, so it's not nice for her to attend. That was her thinking. But then suddenly, the understanding manifests, then that nature inside manifests the understanding and tell her, if there is Dhamma, why not? You should attend. Wherever there is Dhamma, you must not allow the condition to slip by. You must power. He used the word power, like a shiqi, means make use of that good condition to attend. That's why she came. And she really gave a very good sharing that night. So for your case, it's the same. When you understand, do not believe your thought so much initially. Later on, when you have the understanding already, when you can arise the right thought, then it's different. Then the time is no more believing the thought. The thought become your servant. It serve you. You use it. The user of thought develop the right view and understanding to apply the right thought. And during that time, noble eightfold path will flow. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and the right for right effort and all those things. So all the Noble Eightfold Path factor fall into place, and you develop the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. That's how you transform and become beautiful. Okay, Elsie? That's good.
Yeah, sadhu, brother.
Sadhu, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times we deceive by our thoughts.
Yeah.
So at the end, so many times I attended the class, so I never sleep also, you know?
Yeah, very good.
Just like you say, maybe I have the faith.
Yeah, the faith and the virya, the sadha and the virya. And that is very beautiful. It will actually give rise to the causes and conditions for things to manifest. Yeah, what you need is perseverance after that. But in between, you need to ask for forgiveness, Elsie, because coming past, you don't know. And because of that, through your life, it manifests in many ways. Sometimes the way your life is, like the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because so bad is it, man. When you have this right view with regards to law of karma, then you know that whatever go wrong, we cannot blame people. We cannot become unhappy over it because there are causes and conditions behind, like the Buddha explained. So there must be in the past certain thing that we have done that condition needs to happen. That's why I ask for forgiveness sincerely, then repent, then resolve it amicably through understanding. Then this will help you break your karmic obstruction faster. Then you can progress faster. Then you can develop the stability of mindfulness awareness to apply all this understanding, to develop the understanding so that you can progress along the path of Dhamma more easily. Okay, Elsie?
Sadhu.
Okay, good. Let us rejoice with a good sharing also by Elsie. Sadhu. Sadhu.